storm is rising against the privileged minority of the earth.
This is why I say it's liberty or it's death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody.
This is an NBC News Hotline special report.
We're at a turning point in the history of this nation. We need to stand for freedom. There's an escalating authoritarianism and even a creeping fascism. Freedom is precious. If we don't fight for it, you lose it.
This much is clear.
We must rebel.
This is our country. We have always lived in it. We were happy. Then you came. We have to protect ourselves. We have to save our country. We have to fight for what is ours.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's your brother, Ramir Deeth. Welcome to this episode of the Class War Battlefield Podcast. So, this is a different type of episode coming your way. You're going to hear a number of segments that I recorded, and with some clips that kind of bring them all together. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to start off by delving into my mental state here just a little bit, because I really don't, I mean, this is not going to be a conversation or introduction of like my thinking process. No, this is going to be a little something, kind of a glimpse inside of a bit of a struggle that I'm having presently. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a person who has marveled at and literally spent months praying on Dr. King's greatest concepts. I love Dr. King. I love what he stood for. I love the strength of his character. I love it. It is just, it motivates me dramatically because of just how wonderful he was able to take all this pressure and all of these demons that kept popping up in human form and still, while fighting them, maintain a clarity of purpose and a clarity of dignity, a clarity of worth. I marvel at that. But I must tell you, as I've become more spiritual, and, you know, Dr. King was a Christian, I am not, but I've become more in tune with metaphysics, and then I have watched from the standpoint of metaphysics and the standpoint of African information that he did not have. Native American information that he did not have. Theories about the progression of time that we are experiencing that he did not have. Concepts of humanity's genesis that he did not have. And as I'm putting all of this together and I'm marinating in it, and I'm praying on it, meditating on it even, and I'm seeing the same demons in human flesh that he saw pop up, many of them even more devastating, because in his day, they were fighting to maintain a system that was cruel and subordinating to black people. While today, these demons are literally fighting to save a system which they know will cause the death of the planet. They are literally arguing for the death and destruction of this planet. As I'm watching this, and then I watch the reaction, the response to Greta Thunberg, and I was on YouTube, and I found a video a day or so ago. I was actually searching out one of my favorite shows on TV, The Simpsons. Mentioned them a few times. And there's this theory going around that The Simpsons has done it again. They predicted another future event, which was Greta Thunberg giving an impassioned speech to a gawking group of people who didn't, somewhat, kind of did, but some people didn't, heed her warning. They pointed back to two particular episodes of The Simpsons, both of which I've seen. The first one happened in the 2007 Simpsons movie. Lisa Simpson gave an impassioned speech to clean up the lake, something that Homer ignored. And in the other one, I think was a 2009 episode titled The Good, The Sad, and The Drugly. I just went and I looked that up because I've actually watched this episode a number of times. It's a really, really funny and good episode. I want to say, even though I'm not 100%, I want to say it was part of their 20th season, which was all around a really powerful and good season. But I had read this, and I went on YouTube before I started recording this to actually see if anyone had posted any video about that theory. There was one or two. But below it were these other videos that caught my attention. They were videos such as this one which said, the top 10 reasons why Greta Thunberg is a fraud. This is from Red Ice TV. The truth about Greta Thunberg. I haven't went to that one yet. Greta Thunberg without a script to read from. Now, I did go to that one. And the video is nothing. It is of her slowly speaking and giving a short answer and then saying, you know, I don't speak for everybody up here, literally everyone who's up on the panel with her, so maybe you should ask somebody else a question like that. And I mean, you know, from the looks of it, I think the majority of the people on the panel were adults, and they were literally asking this little girl a diplomatic question. You know, should the president respond to what you have to say? Seriously? This is the important stuff we're going to go at. But the comments, I mean, one person wrote, quote, "I can't speak on behalf of everyone. I thought she did speak on behalf of everyone, though. She has stolen a part of my adulthood. Shame on her parents." This is what some idiot wrote. "Ask someone else. That's rich. She can't speak on behalf of others except when it is at the UN. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, It is becoming utterly and utterly and utterly clear to me. This was, you know, when I was a kid, I had this thought. But because of the optimism of youth, you take for granted the idea that the world's going to evolve. But it is becoming utterly clear to me that there is a small portion, and I talk about this a little bit in the coming up segments, but there's a small portion of the society which is always going to stoke mischief and stoke problems, and literally will do so to the detriment and the well-being of everyone in the society and on this planet. They will destroy this planet. They will destroy this planet rather than let there be peace and harmony. See, you all thought that I was lying when I said demons in human form. These people have always existed. These are the same people that were able to coax Europeans who had reservations. Because I know the history books don't really tell you the number of Europeans that had reservations. But they exist. Accounts of these people exist who had reservations about pushing ahead, disenfranchising and dispossessing Native Americans. There were people. There were Europeans who fought on the sides against their own. With blacks, with Africans, and with Native Americans. These same demons in flesh, many of them in the church. Let's be very clear about that, because I've watched TBN and you can see some of the evil just coming off of some of these people. Oh, this is an attack on the church. No. This is a recognition of what we are facing. These same people will destroy and destroy and destroy until there is a line that is made by us. A line that is non-negotiable. Everybody claims to be for the First Amendment. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, to me, I'm tired of that. I don't believe in restricting the rights of anybody except when it's harmful. Except when it's harmful. The debate is over. There must be things that we now do despite these people. Despite them. No matter what they, despite them. Because they really don't care about anything but themselves. That's it. They really don't care about anything but themselves. These people who would come out and slander because they don't like what she says. A young woman, 16 years old. These are the same people who said Tamir Rice at the age of 12 caused his own death. They are telling you about the depravity. And you need to pay attention. These are the same people who will shout when they hear this. Oh, he's dehumanizing me. Oh my God, he called me a demon. Oh, he wants to exert violence on me. These are the same people who will say that because they want to claim the victim status that they are literally inflicting on other people. They are victimizing by their own arguments and stupidity a damning future. They are imposing that damning future onto the people who they are preventing from actually preventing that future from occurring, thus making them victims of their argument. And from the definition of demon, you know, go back and look at what the Catholic Church, you know, people like to slam the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, you know, say what you want. For a long time, they were the only, I mean, they pretty much orchestrated this themselves, but they were the only educated people in Europe, you know, outside of the royals. And they wrote a lot on evil. Go back and look at what they said on evil, which is kind of messed up when you look at then what they did when they started imperialism, when they started going through the imperialist phase. But they wrote about this. I'm not speaking out of turn here. I'm not dehumanizing anybody. I'm calling maniacal what is maniacal. I'm calling evil what is evil. I mean, for God's sakes. To give you kind of, you know, another view on this. Because I said earlier about how they really don't want peace. They don't want peace. Their main focus, their main goal, their main job is to destroy peace. I mean, that's demonic right there. But when we try to have a national conversation pertaining to reparations so we can heal, begin to heal, what was done to black people in this country, what was done to indigenous people in this country, guess what? These are the first people that come out and say, oh, no, we can't do that. And they present all flimsy reasons why that can't happen. Why? Because as long as that scar is there, as long as that cut is there, they can then operate in the shadows to make life horrible, not just for black people or indigenous people, but for the Europeans who they've been messing with for the last 1,000 years. You heard me. 1,000 years. This is really what you're dealing with. You don't have to fight them violently. See, they want you to fight them violently. They need you to react violently. Because that's how they know how to act. That's what they do. And much of the problem presently with them is that you aren't responding to them violently. Because, see, they get their... I'm going to go into some metaphysics quickly before I break and go into the episodes, but they get their energy from that violence. We know people like that. You've come into contact with people who are very destructive. And it seems like they feed off that negativity. Every time when they ruin relationships, every time when they rip things up, they feed off that negativity. They are the happiest when people are their most miserable, they're sad, you know, they're trying to pick up the shattered pieces of their lives. They are happy with that. That's because they feed off of it, ladies and gentlemen. These people, their biggest fear, the reason why they don't want socialism is because in a socialist society, you don't have the massive amount of conflict. The reason why they hated Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, why they hated the New Deal, was because they couldn't go out there and feed off the negativity which their system was creating. Capitalism is, by definition, if you look at what evil is and you look at what cancer is, it fits both of them. From a spiritual standpoint, these people feed off of that. You take that away, they can't live. And see, you think I'm crazy. You think, some of you right now are saying, well, okay, you go out there sometimes, man, but seriously, you're arguing that these people feed off of this violence? You watch movies, and this is even going to even plunge you even more into the idea that maybe you done lost your mind, Vladimir, just a little bit, you done lost your mind. You watch movies where these are literally the plots of those movies. And this seems unreal to you, that this could be a fact. What is it? What do they say? Reality is sometimes stranger than fiction. The things that you most think can't be possible are often not only possible or even probable, but are. They are. Meaning they exist, they are real, and they are realer than what you think is real. As I said, go back and read There's a book that I found a while ago, and it's a little intriguing book. It's from the 1800s. It's called Possession Demonico, Demonicial, and Other Blah, 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 Blah. There's a bunch of other stuff anyway. But it's Possession, Demonicial, and Other. And this is an old book. It has been reprinted recently. Ladies and gentlemen, get the book. Stories of Possession. Stories of Possession. They don't even talk about possession anymore, because the Catholic Church really doesn't fight possessions like that anymore. Because science supposedly has disproved possessions. Every indigenous group in the world, throughout the world, always believed in possessions and always believed in doing things to fight possession. The reason why they did things to fight possession is because they understood that the world had many gateways in it and many entities doing good, many entities doing bad would come into the world and impact it. That was just what happened. We have forgotten this. This is even big in the indigenous peoples of Europeans' lives. They even did this. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? I know it's difficult for you to believe, but we are literally standing looking at a situation created by individual entities, whether born or possessed, which is threatening the livelihood of this planet. And we are being called to stop that from happening. You ever wonder, you know, why is it that these people can't think like us? Or not even, you know, that's the wrong way to say it. It's not even that they can't think like us, but they don't seem to think in a manner which would make empathy possible. It is because they don't have the capability of being empathetic. They don't have the capacity to be empathetic. And I know, that's cold, man. Everyone has that capacity, really. You ever heard of a psychopath? You ever heard of a sociopath? Because everyone does not have that capacity. In fact, the military believes it has developed ways to turn that portion of your being, of your psyche, of your consciousness, of your subconscious off. They believe they have figured out a way to do that, to turn that off. So you can just go out and be a killing machine. This isn't to say that the military is evil, but it is to say, if you think everybody has it and they have a way to turn it off, you might want to think differently. Because those people who come back with the most bedeviling mental issues when it comes to the military, it is because you can't turn off empathy once you have it. You can suppress it, but it will come back. Once you have it, you have it. But there are those who don't have it. And you are looking at a group of people, 10%, 20% of the population, I don't know. But they don't care about the society of this world. And most of them are, yes, conservative. They don't care. They believe the only green that you need to survive is money. Particularly U.S. money, because no one else's money is green except ours. I mean, there's people who have shades of green in there. But when you think about money, you think about the U.S. They don't care. Point blank, period. And it's time that you understand that. You are in a spiritual struggle for the future of your lives. You don't even want to acknowledge that because it is so outside of what you think is happening. Talking crazy, Vladimir. I mean, come on, man. Demons in human form. Come on, man. Possessions, metaphysics. Come on. This is just about, you know, some stuff that's going on in the planet. Wake up. Go and understand what the indigenous people said about the planet. Whether you're talking about Africa, Asia, America, Australia, the middle of the Pacific Ocean, the middle of the Indian Ocean, the middle of the Caribbean. All of them told you. This planet is alive. It's alive. It's alive. We are guests here. What we do matters. And it is calling for us now. It is calling for us now to help it. Because there is an infestation, and either we will take care of that infestation, and we will stop the damage that's happening, or the planet will stop all of us. That's really what we have to deal with. I'm not saying that if we were to get right for 5 years, then suddenly the planet would heal itself. No, we're still going to have to go through some problems. We still will have to go through those problems. It's going to happen. But I bet you this. Just like the planet seems to be getting worse quicker than we realized when we were making our models 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, I bet you the planet recovers quicker than we think too. But we must do what's right. We must do what is right. So I'm going to end it here. And we're going to jump into the segments. So let's do this. All right. Thank you, guys. And I will see you on the other side.
In the overcrowded cities, where the nights are bright as day, you spend your weekly paycheck and turn your eyes away from the crisis we've created with the self-indulgent ways. Living like there's no tomorrow, well, that just might be the case. Now they're tearing down the forests in the jungles of Brazil without a second thought about the species that they kill. But extinction is forever and still the forests fall. They push it ever closer to extinction for us all. They're just so blind to the truth, blind to the truth. And you can't say nothing, 'cause you're so blind.
As long as they can keep on building on the lesson called. Last Friday, students around the world walked out of their classrooms in protest of global inaction on climate change. And this global protest movement was led by climate change activist Greta Thunberg. She is a Swedish 16-year-old, and she also spoke at the United Nations, and she had a really powerful message for world leaders that every single person needs to hear.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams, my childhood, with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. And all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? For more than 30 years, the science has been crystal clear. How dare you continue to look away and come here saying that you're doing enough when the politics and solutions needed are still nowhere in sight? You say you hear us and that you understand the urgency. But no matter how sad and angry I am, I do not want to believe that. Because if you really understood the situation and still kept on failing to act, then you would be evil, and that I refuse to believe. The popular idea of cutting our emissions in half in 10 years only gives us a 50% chance of staying below 1.5 degrees and the risk of setting off irreversible chain reactions beyond human control. 50% may be acceptable to you, but those numbers do not include tipping points, most feedback loops, additional warming hidden by toxic air pollution, or the aspects of equity and climate justice. They also rely on my generation sucking hundreds of billions of tons of your CO2 out of the air with technologies that barely exist. So a 50% risk is simply not acceptable to us, we who have to live with the consequences. There will not be any solutions or plans presented in line with these figures here today, because these numbers are too uncomfortable, and you are still not mature enough to tell it like it is. You are failing us, but the young people are starting to understand your betrayal. The eyes of all future generations are upon you. And if you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you.
So that gave me chills, that made me tear up, and since that was such a powerful speech, it went viral. And this is the message that world leaders need to hear. Their global inaction is inexcusable. And, you know, there's all this talk of how inspiring Greta is and how she's really raising awareness about this issue. That means nothing. All of your words are meaningless if it amounts to inaction. So when she says, "We will never forgive you," I hope that that terrifies people who are in power. I hope that they realize that this is something that future generations will absolutely never forget, and they will look down upon us and people in power now and realize what cowards they were. So every single person on the planet has got to hear that. Nobody else is putting the climate crisis into perspective quite like her. Nobody's talking realistically about how much we actually have to do to mitigate climate catastrophe. And we're kind of fooling ourselves, right? The numbers that are true, the amount of greenhouse gas emissions we'd have to cut, it's too terrifying for politicians to fathom because they don't know how they can do that And even if they knew how to feasibly implement something like that, they wouldn't necessarily know how to sell it. So, I mean, global inaction is going to lead to our extinction if we don't take action. And what you see there is pain from a young woman who's seeing her future ripped away because people in power don't give a damn about climate change. Because they're not going to be here to see the consequences of it come to fruition. It's already happening, but I mean, they can still at least say, well, you know, these hurricanes that are happening more frequently, this isn't necessarily due to climate change or whatever. You know, they can try to pretend as if it doesn't exist and bury their heads in the sand. But what Greta Thunberg is doing is she is pulling their heads out of the sand and she's dosing all of these world leaders with really cold water. She's saying, look, either you act or this is what you have to live with. This is how history is going to judge you. Nice words won't cut it. Action is what we need. So I absolutely loved what she said. She is so inspirational. You know, when I was 16 years old, I was not thinking about climate change. I was not thinking about these really big global issues. So for her to raise the salience of this issue and lead a global strike that took place in 150 different countries, I mean, if we're able to somehow survive climate change and the human species goes on, she is going to be in the history books with credit as one of the leaders in this fight. No doubt. There are others, but, you know, her rise is so important. But, you know, this was powerful. It caught steam. It went viral. So, of course, how do conservatives respond? Because they have to defend the Republican Party's inaction. So what do? Well, they viciously attack Greta Thunberg, unsurprisingly. Right-wing propagandist Ryan Saavedra tweeted, "This speech by far-left activist Greta Thunberg is absolute madness." Eric Erickson responded, saying, "Children of the corn level scary here. They're going to move quickly to violence to overthrow democratic governments." Dave Rubin says, "She shouldn't be up there, and the people who have stolen her dreams with empty words are not the people she thinks." Documentarian propagandist and criminal Dinesh D'Souza tweeted, "Don't rail against this poor kid. Just pull back and listen to the craziness, and you can appreciate this manufactured vignette for what it is. High comedy." Now, he also compared her to Nazi propaganda. We also had Laura Ingraham of Fox News compare her to Children of the Corn.
Anyone else find that chilling?
"A time of tribulation has come. A test is at hand. The final test."
I can't wait for Stephen King's sequel, Children of the Climate.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe her advertisers should boycott her this time, but for good. But, you know, to be fair, that wasn't even the worst attack. Because one attack on her, one attack on this child was so bad that Fox News literally came out and said, "We're not going to invite him back on again because this was so bad." So the Daily Wire's Michael Knowles criticized her and attacked her, frankly, essentially because she is autistic.
"None of that matters because the climate hysteria movement is not about science. If it were about science, it would be led by scientists rather than by politicians and a mentally ill Swedish child who is being exploited by her parents and by the international left.
How dare you?
So what you're seeing here is a political movement and a religious movement, and it's fulfilling religious and political goals of the left, but it isn't doing very much for science."
Chris, you had a visceral reaction to that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you're a grown man and you're attacking a child. Shame on you. She's trying
to
do what she thinks
is
right.
"I'm attacking the left for exploiting a mentally ill child."
"Now, relax, skinny boy. I got this, okay? You're attacking a child. You're a grown man. Have some coof."
"I'm not. I'm attacking the left for exploiting a mentally ill child."
Maybe on your podcast, you get away and say whatever you want because nobody's listening. You're on national television. Be a grown-up when you're talking about children. She's trying to save the planet because your president doesn't believe in climate change, and kids need to take to the streets to worry about their future. You are despicable for talking to her about her like that, and you should apologize on national television right now."
I mean, just when you thought that the Republican Party could not get any worse, they start attacking a child who is autistic. So he says, "If this movement were about science, it would be led by scientists rather than politicians and a mentally ill Swedish child. First of all, science is apolitical. We don't expect scientists to construct public policy. We expect them to conduct research and do science, if I'm allowed to use science as a verb. So that argument is moronic. Second of all, she has autism, and you are attacking her because of that. Shame on you, you disgusting, smug cretin. And he tried to defend himself, saying, well, no, I'm saying that they're taking advantage of her. People, her parents, activists, they're taking advantage of her because she's mentally ill. And that's what's gross. First of all, mental illness and autism, these are not the same things. Second of all, to suggest that someone who is autistic can't possibly think for themselves and that they're being used is degrading. Did you say this about the Parkland victims when they came out and started protesting in order to get gun reform? Did you say, well, you know, they're being taken advantage of by adults because they can't think for themselves? No, you didn't say that because they're not autistic. You specifically said this about her because she's autistic. And as someone with an autistic family member, go fuck yourself, you disgusting goon. I mean, how low Republicans go, there's no bottom to that. They will attack children if it means they promote their political agenda. And in this instance, it is shielding the fossil fuel industry and corrupt Republican Party from taking action as our planet dies. What a fucking disgrace Michael Knowles is, and all of these Republican goons are. Dave Rubin, Dinesh D'Souza, these people are psychopaths. And if you follow them, if they are an influence in your life, find better role models, because these people don't have your interest in mind. They are promoting a suicidal party that does nothing as our planet becomes uninhabitable. If that's not crazy to you, if that's not something that gives you pause, I don't know what the fuck to say. This teenager is a hero who has accomplished more in the last year than this Daily Wire third stringer will in his entire lifetime. And he has the nerve to suggest that she can't think for herself and that she's being taken advantage of, and that she doesn't genuinely care about the environment. I don't even know what to say. There are no words to describe how repulsive and morally bankrupt modern day conservatism has become. I don't know what to say.
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? This is your brother, Vladimir Deets. Welcome to this Class 4 Battlefield Podcast segment. So, a little bit of an update on Greta Thunberg's climate march. And ladies and gentlemen, there is an aspect in this which even she kind of acknowledge she didn't really take it very far, but it's the inequality aspect of it, and I would not be doing my job if I didn't speak about Michael Knowles calling her mentally ill, something that I was kind of shocked with my reaction on. When I posted it to my Facebook page, I had to rewrite the message to it because I had to rewrite it twice because the first one was so angry. I wrote it, walked away, and came back about 10 minutes later and reread it and said, oh, there's like undercurrents of, I'm sick of all of you. I can't even deal with all of you anymore. To hell with you all. So let me rewrite that. And the second one I reread, and it was too disjointed. So I had to add some to it. I was angry. And if you don't know about the clip, just type in to YouTube Michael Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, and Greta Thunberg. You know, every time when I say her name, I always want to put a Von onto it. I don't know why. Actually, I do know why, because back in 2000, back in the late 1990s, I used to watch a soap opera. My mother kind of got me into it. And it was my favorite soap opera. I loved watching it. I loved it mainly because I like to write. And the storyline, the story presentation was really, really incredible to me. And they had a really good, really interesting character on at the time named Greta Van Amberg, I think was her name. And she was by far one of my more favorite characters. And one of the reasons she was one of my favorite characters, one, was because she was young. She was in her mid-20s, I think, at the time. She was average-looking, but she was attractive average-looking. And then three, she was a very devout Christian, which I am not, but I can respect that type of spiritual commitment. And being in her mid-20s, I found it fascinating that she was still actually a virgin. And she was proud of that. So that's why I think I always want to put Von onto it. But anyway, so Greta Thunberg, type in Greta Thunberg and type in Michael Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, and you'll see that clip. I was very angry, and it's not as if I have somebody in my family with, well, I do, my brother, actually, but I was going to say it's not like I have somebody in my family with mental illness like hers. Because I know to be autistic is not a mental illness, but I don't have somebody who is suffering from something like she is. Although I do have a brother with schizophrenia. And so I know some mental illness. And to see him say it with such viciousness, with such viciousness, I was, you know, I up till I've heard of talking heads, you know, I have been watching Fox News periodically since it first came on air back in the mid-90s. I have been disgusted by what I've seen from it. Even back now, I was a teenager when Fox News first started really popping up. Okay? I was a teenager. And even then, I hated it. I thought it was disgusting. I thought it was horrific. People would tell me they loved watching it. This was back in the late 90s. And I couldn't understand it because I'd watch an hour of programming and just go, no, this isn't good. And I was a teenager. I had grown people telling me it was fine. But what he said, man, and I'm trying not to stay on this too much longer because I need to get to the real reason why I'm doing this. What he said was horrific. So then, you know, he made a point, and I'm going to get to the inequality thing in a moment. He did make a point to say that this was a political and religious movement that's doing nothing for science. And if it was about science, then it would be led by scientists. It's funny he says that, because back in the early 90s, in the late 80s, it was led by scientists. See, most people don't realize this. Years ago, all right, in, I think it was 2013, I published a Class War Battlefield podcast episode on the environment. It was the first one I ever did, and I used a couple of excerpts from a really good book that if you are debating climate change, if you care about climate change, you need to get this book. The book is called Merchants of Doubt. It is a powerful book. And it lays out the story of how, one, the idea of climate change, greenhouse effect, came into public consciousness. And ladies and gentlemen, despite the crap that they've been pushing us, yeah, it really came into our consciousness in the late 80s. But the first time that it really started, like, sprouting was the 60s. I mean, for God's sakes, the EPA was created during the Nixon administration. So there had to be some consciousness, some awareness of we need to start doing better with regulating how industry and humans impact the environment back then. And there was. I mean, the whole flower movement, that's flower child movement, that was part of it. But then it also talks about, and this is the more important part, it also talks about the reaction to the scientists who were starting to come out and talk to it, talk to us about it. And the reaction was fierce. Was fierce. And they go through some of the attacks that took place on the scientists who were trying to present this information to the public as clean as possible, including with the uncertainties that they were still trying to figure out. I mean, contrary to the narrative which has been allowed to flourish, science does have uncertainty. It is meant to have uncertainty because we're not perfect beings. The book goes through that and tells you about the uncertainty, why there was uncertainty. It also goes through the many theories that have been proposed by industry to explain away climate change, and tackles those theories one by one using the science that is available. The book is fascinating. It is called Merchants of Doubt. It is called Merchants of Doubt. Go and get it. It really is one of the best books that you will ever get. It is fascinating. And what you see, and it even tracks, you know, the primary figures that are involved, that are in war in many instances, involved in creating the doubt in climate change and where they all came from. And it's kind of ironic because a lot of them were used to manufacture doubt in the arguments that popped up around cigarettes and some were used to, I think it was discredit some chemicals that were, or discredit the critics of some chemicals that were devastating the environment in the 70s and the 60s. I mean, the book is fascinating. If memory serves me correctly, the authors took 5 years to conduct their research, to look at the science, to look at the controversies surrounding it, all of it. It is a really good book. Again, the book title is Merchants of Doubt. And so him saying that if this was about science, then it would be led by science, is one, it's either ignorant on his part and he just doesn't know, or more likely he does know, and it's disingenuous. And it's disingenuous. Because they try to hammer any... Hansen is his last name. The scientist, Hansen. They smear him often when they're debunking, when they're so-called debunking climate change. Smear him. And he's a scientist. So these people are dangerously stupid, and I mean that. I don't mean it as a, you know, violent gesture, but they are. They're dangerously stupid. They're the type of people whom, you know, 40,000 years ago, the elders would have been saying in Europe, wow, the ancestors are telling me that there's a cold wind coming and we need to start putting away provisions and preparing because things are going to get really, really bad around here. And they're the ones running around saying, elders ain't got no idea what the heck they're talking about. Then the elders will say, well, we got to go we got to go south, guys. We got to get away from this area, even though we've been here for, 20,000 years. We got to get away from this area and go south to save ourselves because we're going to get trapped up here. Don't know what's going to happen, but the elders keep telling us that. So let's go. They're the ones running around talking about, what the heck do they know? What the heck do they know? They don't know nothing. I mean, we're going to get trapped here. How can we get trapped here? There's nothing. Look around here. There's nothing because they can't see it. I mean, that's the level of danger that these people have now. But the reason why I did this segment was because of the inequality factor, and I have to talk about this. Because I have watched progressives be kind of shocked at this and get pissed off about this, and, you know, when I heard Fox News issued an apology and banned this man from coming on to their network again, I thought about that. I thought about that, and I thought about what they had been saying about Tamir Rice. And how they had put his death on him. The things that they called Michael Brown. How they talk about black people, children, altogether. I don't care about the number of supposed black faces that they have on their network. The number of confused black people who hate black people themselves. Even the woman whose show this exchange between Michael Knoll and I forgot who the other guest was happened. Her supposedly being a black face and looking at her and just how made up she is and how doll-like she is and how fake she is. Always think about Tupac when I say how fake a person is. Fake hair, fake nails, fake eyes too. So now you bound to mess with fake guys too? I mean, I look at the stuff that they have said, and I ask, because a lot of these progressives, they thought it was horrible when they said these things about Tamir Rice. But they're shocked when they say them about Greta Thunberg. They are. And I can't understand why. I really can't. I can't understand why. I mean, Fox News has never apologized for the stuff they said about Trayvon Martin, the stuff they said about Tamir Rice. They've never apologized for slandering black children before. They've never banned anybody for coming on and slandering black peoples, black children, nothing. And this guy should be banned. He should be. But there's points of empathy that she gets that black children don't get. She gets them, black children do not get them. And that to me is massively troubling. Because ultimately, you know, and I pointed this out to a friend of mine before this happened. I said, you do realize, well, I'll back up. Ultimately, the people who are going to take on a lot of this crisis are going to be black and brown people. And the current, and she acknowledged this in her speech when she said she was one of the lucky ones. But the current care movement for this is really focused on European and Eurasian countries. And I told a friend of mine, I said, look, the reason why they are really focusing on her, as I said, because she's white. She's Scandinavian white. Fine. I know how the media works. The media, you know, their work for her will work for that because, or work with that because she is white. But they need a white face to make this really human. They need a white face to make it human. Because that's what they care about. And I go, and I really get it and I understand it. You know, it's a European thing. Europeans really empathize a lot with Europeans. I get that. But, you know, the next time Fox News wants to slander a black child, the next time they want to, and people who I know progressives or conservatives who don't demand that these people get taken off the air. That's going to be disappointing to me. That really will. Because as a black person, I hear a lot from conservatives, that racism is in my head, discrimination is in my head. They'll say, oh, I believe it exists. Okay, well, give me an instance where you said, holy crap, that's discrimination, and then give me an instance where you said, holy crap, that's racist. And I ain't talking about they called me a nigger either. That's low-hanging fruit, and that doesn't even really bother me anymore. But I hear from conservatives constantly that you get judged by your character, by the content of your character. Good. Okay. It's time to prove it. time one of these devils on Fox News criticizes a black child for whatever reason they decide to go after him, I don't give it. And if the person is black, doubly handicap them on that one, because they'll bring on black people to say the most horrific things so they can cover their butt and say, well, it wasn't us, when it was them. Fox News is Ku Klux Klan channel number one. I know how it works. If they are not suspended and forever kicked off Fox News, I hear no more. I hear no more that this is not a problem. A conservative come up to me and tell me that this is not an issue, that it's all in my head, that is, they are dismissed immediately as beyond, it's not even ignorant anymore, they're stupid. That's it. Pure and simple. Goodbye. Not dealing with you no more. When this channel could call Tamir Rice responsible for his own death. When they could take Zimmerman's side and sully and soil the name of Trayvon Martin. They called Michael Brown a thug constantly. And yet for this woman, for this young woman, this brave woman, she's doing great work. I mean, I picked up the ones who died because that's the most egregious. But also what they were saying about black people protesting. The response was nothing. Question our motives, call us thugs, call us all kinds of things. Who cared? Yeah, it was distasteful. But this woman, there was no consequence for them doing that to black people. No consequences to them speaking about immigrants in the way that they speak about them. No consequence to the way that they spoke about Muslims. But for this woman, for this young European and white woman doing great work. But so aren't all those black teenagers trying to stop police freaking brutality. All those children, those migrant children. I used to know migrants growing up. My parents used to be farmers for a while, helping out in the fields. Nobody gets suspended for that stuff. Because these are black, brown, and red people. These are black, brown, and red people. Who cares? They're imperialist subjects. But for her, somebody gets suspended. The guy should have gotten kicked off. Yeah, he should have. He absolutely should have. I hope it costs him a lot. But to all black people out there who's listening to this, I don't know how many of them there is, but I want you to really remember this. Because sometime in the coming 2-3 years, they're going to find some reason to slam black children again and black teenagers for not doing something. Acting too black. I want you to remember this. Because contrary to what we're told, there is not, you know, equality of concern on these things. What have we done to the world? They hate us. There's no consequence for hating us. None. Not on Fox News, anyway. And, you just gotta live with that, but we don't gotta accept it. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can let me know. My email's always on the front of each episode. I do look forward to hearing from you guys. I'll see you on the other side. Segment. So, I do want to talk quickly about the Greta Thunberg, the response to the Greta Thunberg plea. Some years ago, I read a book called The Sociopath Next Door. And The book is fascinating, but also you don't really know what you're getting into when you start reading it, if I could be very, very frank with you. Basically, what it says is that many sociopaths, contrary to popular beliefs and popular stereotypes that are promoted, are very well functioning. And in fact, it's inappropriate, actually, I believe, this isn't in the book, to call them sociopaths. These people are psychopaths. But they're high functioning, they're well adjusted. You do not know that these people are psychopathic until they do something majorly diabolical, which reveals the depravity of their heart and just how soulless they actually are. These people walk and talk and act just like you and I. They could even mimic compassion. But even in their mimicking compassion, there's a mechanicalness that separates them from us. They hate life. They hate nature often, even though they will mimic caring for it. But ultimately, if you watch how they treat animals, how they treat particularly animals, when they don't believe anyone's looking, there is a diabolicalness to it. There is a disdain for nature, literally a disdain for nature. This is something else I read on the app Quora. I read a long extended piece. It was written, I think, by a PhD who was fascinated with psychopaths. And this is something that seems to pop up a lot, where they just have this huge disdain for life in general, particularly life that is expressive with massive amounts of energy. They always want to destroy it. I know somebody who is absolutely psychopathic, and he's definitely functioning, and you could not tell most people that this person is psychopathic, because their idea of psychopathic is, you know, like Lex Luthor and all this other crap, and Hannibal Lecter, and no. This person is psychopathic. I watch his demeanor when he talks about murdering animals. You know, he's a hunter. When he talks about, he told me this story some time ago, about 3 years back now. And it was in this story that I really saw his emptiness, one, and two, the psychopathic nature, which I had already started figuring was a part of his personality. He had found, I think it was a gopher. Might have not been a gopher, but he had found a gopher, I think, hole. And the gopher hole was over near his house. The gopher, really, I mean, wasn't presenting any problem. They lived next to him and his family. Lived next to a patch of woods. So the gopher was there. And he didn't like the fact that the gopher was there. Let me back up. No. It had nothing to do with him liking the fact that the gopher was there. As soon as he discovered that the gopher was there, he became gleeful. He became gleeful. He literally ran into his house, grabbed some bleach, gleefully ran out, dumped it into the hole, and put a huge rock into the hole to suffocate the gopher, to kill the gopher. And I remember asking him, I was like, well, why'd you do that? He was like, Just wanted to. I'm like, was a gopher bothering you? Nope. Was he getting into your garden? Nope. Was he making holes in your house? Nope. Then why'd you do it? Well, I don't want a gopher there. I'm like, why don't you sit? It's nature, man. Well, he's dead now. Sorry about that, y'all. Yeah, he thought it was hilarious, and I was shocked. I was kind of shocked. But it really has, him and some other people who I've met over the last few years has really opened the door to this whole well-adjusted psychopathic nature. And the more I look at Fox News, which I don't do often, the more I see this psychopathic nature on heavy display. I guarantee you, if you took all of the personalities working at Fox News and ran them through personality checks, I bet you Fox News would have a disproportionate number of psychopaths, sociopaths, narcissists, I'm going to just stick to those three. Psychopaths, sociopaths, and narcissists work in there. I bet you they would have an overabundance of them. Disproportionately. And when I say disproportionately, I'm not talking like 20%. I'm talking, particularly with their on-air personalities, I think you're talking about 40 to 50% of them being somewhere, one of them three. And a lot of the people who they invite back in there to commentate on stuff, I'm guaranteeing them, you're probably talking the majority of them too, fall into one of those three categories. I was watching, I just recently started getting into The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. After Jon Stewart left, I really just didn't want anything to do with The Daily Show for a while. And so I didn't watch it. But I started getting into it, and I came across a clip of Trevor Noah talking to, what is her name? Tommy Lauren. Which, you know, I always wondered if she was related to, well, never mind. But, I was watching that clip, and I was listening to this, I was listening to the interview between him and her, and the roboticness, the disassociation from feelings and emotions and empathy, and even the disavowance of consequences from her actions, her speech, that was taking place. I listened to it. I watched it. I watched the placidness of her face. There were no muscles moved to signify emotion, nothing. And I watched her eyes. Because see, that's the key, ladies and gentlemen. You want to know a person, you want to see the soul of a person, look into their eyes. Now, you know, people say, well, you know, people can trick their eyes and mess with their eyes and stuff. And I go, you know, you're right, they could do that. But there are moments in time when you literally get glimpses into people's souls. And when you're talking to them, you could see those moments. Some people are very adept at hiding it, but there are moments. There are moments because as they're going through the process of sizing you up, they got to switch their masks. And when they switch their masks, you can see the glimpses into their soul. That's a sociopath and a psychopath, and often a narcissist. But I realized watching her, the sociopathic, psychopathic, and narcissistic nature. And by the way, I'm not excluding the left, especially from the narcissistic aspect. I see a lot of narcissism with progressives. But that's when it really started hitting me, the psychopathic nature of this conservative movement. when I look at the, and look, I want to be very clear about this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying that every single person who's in the conservative movement is a psychopath, sociopath, or a narcissist. But I am saying that a lot of the leaders seem to be. And this man who was on Fox News, yeah, do your research into psychopathy. This man, there's no emotional connection there. He's talking about a fly that he can swat and kill any moment when he talks about Greta. And look, Greta Thunberg, excuse me. And look, I'm used to this. I'm used to these conservative people talking about black people, talking about brown and red people in a manner so dismissive that it's as if they're talking about a little insect which they can squash and push aside and nobody will care. What I think too many progressives and even too many conservatives thought was that they were going to be gentle when it came to white European flesh. And they aren't. And they don't know how to deal with that. Well, how you deal with it is you realize you're dealing with a bunch of psychopaths. And then you go forward from there. Because what this tells you, what ultimately all of this tells you, isn't really about Greta Thunberg. Ladies and gentlemen, it tells you that they don't care one about the planet. Because again, psychopaths have a visceral hatred towards life. And because they have a visceral hatred towards life, they got a horrible hatred towards anything that gives life, which they don't themselves control. So they hate the planet. But two, they really don't care about you. They don't. They care about money. Money is what matters to them. They care about raping and pillaging and killing everything for money. Money which they themselves create. The one thing that libertarians always had correct, and they're the ones that really brought me to this point of realizing this, is that money is fake. Money is fake. It's created. It is. It's the truth. It's the truth. I can't hide that. But what they didn't realize is that this love for something that is created is destructive. It devalues things that actually should have value. The worst creation in this world was, truthfully, the United States greenback. One of the most powerful instruments of exchange ever created was the American greenback, which shouldn't be called the greenback because the greenback was something completely different, but basically American money. It devalues things that should have value, and it assigns value to things that shouldn't have a value, that should be too important to have a value. You don't allow people who have demonstrated for thousands of years that they don't care about you or your families or anybody but themselves to put a price tag on fresh water. Because ultimately, they'll make it so they can afford it all and you can't. You don't let somebody who has demonstrated for thousands of years that they care more for their property than for your right to challenge them in their boneheaded decisions to have the say over what property you can have and what rights you can have. Because ultimately, they're going to make it so you become their property and you have no rights. You're looking at a movement which has really revealed its face. It's hollow, it's uncaring, it's unfeeling. It is about money. But ladies and gentlemen, you're also looking at a movement that sees that it has a tremendous problem. And that is that in the last 3 years, you had two youth-led movements. Youth-led movements. You had two youth-led movements. Two of them. The movement to have sensible gun control after the Parkland shooting, which roused hundreds of thousands, if not over a million young people, to call for gun control legislation. And then you had this climate strike. First of what I hear, maybe many. And you also have something else that is happening in the background, which these people know about. And that is, for the first time since the 60s and the 70s, you have a active left that didn't go to sleep after the last election. Because, see, that's what happened in 2001, is the left went to sleep again. That's what happened in 2005. The left went to sleep. It happened when Obama was elected. He kept telling the left. He did. Look it up. He kept telling them, make me do what you want me to do. The left didn't listen. They went to sleep. Again in 2013, they whined like colicky babies because he didn't respond to them, but they didn't want to put in the work for it. Well, after 2016, they didn't go back to sleep. They didn't go to sleep. And what these people are starting to figure out, and like I've been saying this for the longest time, they've known this. They've known it since the 90s. Young people, millennials, there's two groups of millennials, those that were born before the millennium, supposedly the 20 years prior to the millennium, but now they've switched it. And then those that were born within 20 years of the millennium. Sometimes it was 10, but now they've switched it. In other words, my sub-generation, 1980 through 2000, and then this generation, they've known that there was going to be a left turn. And their internal polling, their data mining, is showing them that socialism, despite all of the negative press, is looked upon favorably. Despite all of the negative press, it's looked upon favorably from left to right. They have a problem. You're going to see their desperation growing, especially as we move through this election year. All right. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can always reach me at my wonderful email address. Outside of that, I'll see you on the other side.
They say he didn't have an enemy. His was a greatness to behold. He was the last surviving progeny, the last one on the side of the world. He measured a half mile from tip to tail. Silver and black, your powerful fins. They say you could split a mountain in two. That's how we got the Grand Canyon. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Some say they saw him at the Great Lakes. Some say they saw him off of Florida. My mother said she saw him in Chinatown. But you can't always trust your mother. Off the Carolinas, the sun shines brightly in the day. The lighthouse glows ghostly there at night. The chief of a local tribe had killed the racist mayor's son. He'd been on death row since 1958. The mayor's kid was a rowdy pig. Spit on Indians and lots worse. The old chief buried a hatchet in his head. Life compared to death for him seemed worse. The tribal brothers gathered in the lighthouse to sing and tried to conjure up a storm or rain. The harbor parted. A great whale sprang full up and caused a huge tidal wave. The wave crushed the jail and freed the chief. The tribe let out a roar. Whites were drowned, the browns and reds set free, but sadly one thing more. Some local yokel member of the NRA kept a bazooka in his living room, and thinking he had the chief in his sights, blew the whale's brains out with a lead harpoon. That's great American whale. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Last great American whale. Well, Americans don't care for much of anything. Land and water the least. And animal life is low on the totem pole, with human life not worth more than infected yeast. Americans don't care too much for beauty. They'll shit in a river, dump battery acid in a stream. They'll watch dead rats wash up on the beach and complain if they can't swim. They say things are done for the majority. Don't believe half of what you see, none of what you hear. It's like what my painter friend Donald said to me. Stick a fork in their and turn them over, they're done.
Earlier today, we mentioned the fact that Michael Knowles from the Daily Wire podcast went on Fox News, attacked Greta Thunberg, and then essentially got banished from the network. But Knowles wasn't the only person on Fox News who decided to go after Greta. You also had known hate monger Laura Ingraham in the evening, who compared Greta Thunberg, who again gave a fiery speech to the UN yesterday about the necessity of addressing global climate change. And Laura Ingraham then compared her to Stephen King's Children of the Corn, suggesting that the next one would be Children of the Climate. And as I've stated before, Laura Ingraham was not alone. You also had Dinesh D'Souza, the former felon, by the way, who went out there and was attacking her on Twitter the other day. Many conservatives have come out. The president did it. Ann Coulter did it. All of these conservatives are coming out attacking this young child because she wants to make the world a better place. Well, there was one person especially who got super pissed off about Laura Ingraham's attack on Greta Thunberg. And it happened to be Laura Ingraham's own brother, Curtis. Following Laura Ingraham's clip, Curtis tweeted out the following. He said, "Clearly, my sister's paycheck is more important than the world her three adopted kids will inherit. I can no longer apologize for a sibling who I no longer recognize. I can and will continue to call out the monstrous behavior and the bully commentary born out of anger." And that's coming from Laura Ingraham's own older brother. And now, this is not the first time that Curtis Ingraham has had to come out and basically refer to his sister as a monster. But even beyond what Curtis says here, which is spot on accurate, and it's very sad that he essentially is losing a sister because she sold her soul to Fox News. But the other thing is that that selling of that soul, the value of that may have just gone down a bit. Because let's not forget that it was only, what, not even a year ago, basically, when we had the mass exodus of Laura Ingraham advertisers. Hell, it may have been just a few months ago. But all these advertisers left. And then they slowly started to trickle back in because they thought everybody had stopped paying attention to it. Ooh, we're safe now. We can go back to Laura Ingraham. Nobody's watching what we're doing. Yeah, we're going to be paying a hell of a lot more attention now. And you're going to get called out, advertisers. So if you still think it's a good idea to advertise your product on Laura Ingraham's Hate Hour, I would seriously reconsider that. Because we've seen what happened with Tucker Carlson. The public backlash led to a massive advertiser exodus, and his advertisers have not come back. Laura Ingraham's, to an extent, not all of them, but some of them did. But I'm willing to bet in the next few days we're going to see more and more slowly trickle away. In fact, as I'm sitting here right now, other companies may have already announced that they're leaving her show for good. And that's the caveat we have to look out for good. Not just temporarily, not just for 6 months or 1 month. Not just when they think the public's not paying attention to the stupid and hateful things that Laura Ingraham says, but forever. Because if you come back and you decide that, nope, I do want to advertise on this show because I think people forgot about the horrible attack she had on that child, the next time it happens, you're going to get hit even harder. So any corporations out there who may happen to be watching this, I suggest you tread lightly on this issue and you make a stand and stick to it. Because if you don't, it's only going to get worse from there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your brother, Vladimir Deese. Welcome to this Class War Battlefield podcast segment. I just played a clip. I just played a clip from the Humanist Report, and I thank him for even posting this. Greta, and I apologize if I get her last name wrong, Thunberg, gave this very impassioned speech. And I gotta tell you, family, it touched me. It touched me. And to think this is very difficult for me because I am a person of immense compassion and a person of immense consciousness. You cannot have compassion without consciousness. It's impossible. And thinking about the few, but more than most people have, conversations I've had about various things that I care about, including the environment. In fact, I kind of fumbled that. The few but many conversations I've had about climate change, global warming. I've had a lot of conversations about many things that I care about. That's how I meant to actually put all that together. And thinking about how difficult it was to talk to people who are locked in these echo chambers, these conservative echo chambers, in trying to get them to understand that their belief doesn't matter if in 25 years it's too late to do anything and their belief is proven wrong. I said to, and this isn't actually what I'm doing this for, but I want to talk about this. I said to a guy who I was talking to about all this, I met him at the bus station. And I was listening to him go through the spiel. I've heard it a lot from conservatives. And I finally looked at him and I said, look, man. I go, let me ask you something. I go, I'm going to give you a scenario. I go, so, one, there's a couple things that you need to know before I give you the scenario. One, Germany doesn't give a damn about what you're saying. They don't. They don't care. Do you know what they're doing right now? And do you know what they've been doing for the last 20 years? I said, well, why should I care? It's Germany. And I go, no, you need to care. Because this has to do with what we're talking about. Germany for the last 20 years has been dumping billions of dollars into breaking green technology. They've been putting money into their workforce, into their schools, into their technologies. They're trying to break green technology. They said they are going to spend hundreds of billions of dollars if necessary to break it, because they could break it and they can make it work. They can build it for the rest of the world at scale, meaning tens of trillions of dollars will go to Germany. What have we been doing for the last 30 years? We've been arguing about this. So here's my scenario to you. Let's look ahead 25 years. And let's take your approach. We do nothing. We don't invest in anything. We just, hey, everything's good. La-di-da-di-da. What happens in 25 years? Germany's broke the code. Germany is now an economic powerhouse in the world. Where's the United States? Now, let's say global warming ends up not being that big of a deal in 25 years. Okay, cool. So global warming isn't that big of a deal. Where does that leave the United States still? The new technology that's getting exported all throughout the world is coming from Germany. Where's the United States? We're now just, we're trying to play catch up. We'll never catch up. Never. That's scenario one. Scenario two. Let's say global warming proves to be correct. It's true. It's happening. Things are getting worse. Germany's selling technology across the world now because they've broken green technology. And not only have we not developed green technology, but global warming has proven to be true. What's going to happen to our society? What's going to happen? Those are the two scenarios that we're looking at. What's going to happen? Because, see, either way, Germany's pouring money into it anyway, so they're going to try to break the technology, and they're going to break it. Trust me, the Germans are like that. If they put their minds to it, they're going to break it. Now, we can become competitive with them, because all of you guys like to talk about free markets. You like to talk about economics. But I really don't believe you're thinking that way, because if you're thinking that way, Then let's be about economics then. Fine. Germany's doing this. We're not even trying to compete with them. Because you want to do free market. They had a national plan to do this. The free market ain't going to do this. You got to have a governmental power that's going to say, this is what we're doing for the betterment of our society. The person looked at me and said, well, see, that's the problem is, it's always about government to you. And I go, no, forget about that part. I want you to answer me the two scenarios that I gave you. He had no answer. He had nothing. And because he had never thought about it. He hadn't even thought about it. To be fair, he did ask me, he goes, well, how do you know that Germany's doing this? He said, I heard about this about 5-6 years ago. A little bit longer than that, actually, now that I think about it. And then I did research. And you can actually go online and you can find this out. I said, the world is not waiting for the United States. The world is pushing ahead. Those bullet trains that China has built, they did it with help from, if memory serves me correctly, it was German firms and Italian firms, I think.
But he had no answer for that. Because the what if is something that they never answer. It's always about being right. Oh, I'm right wing, so I'm always right. Yeah, well, you could be right and not be correct. Right does not always equal correct. This young lady, though, do you know what kind of people it takes to really attack a young girl? I mean, I'll be honest with you, family, and I mean this. I will be very honest with you. As a black man, I am used to seeing black people attacked. People forget, you know, when Trayvon Martin was murdered, the friend that he was on the phone with, she was attacked mercifully. People just attacked her from the right. They didn't even care. They attacked numerous people who were related to individuals who had been killed by police officers. They didn't even care. As a black person, I'm used to that. I mean, I get offended when it comes to women and when it comes to children. But there's something here for these mostly white, very wealthy men and women to attack this girl, this white girl. This needs to tell you to all white people who are listening to this, you need to understand just how diabolically empty these people are. And I mean that. For years, I've been constantly and consistently saying that the problem with most white folks has always been that they thought the ghetto was never going to come to their front door. They always thought the ghetto was something that black people lived in. That's what you thought. And for liberals, progressives, today, it was even more egregious because, see, they allowed the wealthy to attack radicals because the radicals were the ones over there. They weren't part of the middle class, most of them. They were seen as a danger to the moderates, to the progressives, to the liberals. So they could allow the conservatives to attack the radicals because who needs them? We don't really want socialism. We don't really want real revolutionary change. Who needs them? So let them attack them. Well, guess what? Welcome to the ghetto. The conservatives are done neutralizing the radicals. So now they're coming for the progressives and the moderates. They're done beating up black people. And they're making their way through the brown people. So now guess who they got to come after? This is why, and this is to be the only thing that I'm going to say about this. This is why so many black people don't want anything to do with progressives and moderates. Because we know the only reason why you are having this sudden need for revolution arise among you is because the ghetto is at your door. These people don't care about anybody but themselves. For them to attack this girl, this tells you, not only, I don't believe most of you understand how severe this is. Because it's not just about her. It is about her generation. See, ladies and gentlemen, I'm part of the millennial generation. I'm at the beginning of it, but I'm part of the millennial generation. These wealthy people have spent the last 30 years bashing the generation before the millennials and the millennials. There is a book that I found from the 1990s called Scapegoat Generation, where the author talks about this, on how literally the conservative mechanism at that time was planning on and working on and really writing and speaking on pinning all of the problems of the world on the current generation. Think about that. These people weren't even out of high school and college yet, and they were already pinning the problems in the society on that generation. And all I've heard for the last 10 years is all of this horrible talk about millennials, just how feckless they are, how aimless they are, how shallow they are, and a bunch of other stuff. And I look at the parents of these people because, again, we were the beginning of the millennials. The earlier definition of the millennials was if you graduated from high school around the millennium, then you were a millennial. Then the definition shifted. Don't know how or why, but it did. Anyway, it's almost been like this is their plan. And now, as you are seeing millennials start to become activated, especially the ones that are in their 20s, in their teens, become activated, so they can actually try to do something about the emergency that is, or the emergencies that are staring them in the face, there is a concerted effort to destroy the will of this generation, to stop them from fulfilling their destiny. Do you know how much you have to hate the country? And I really, honest to God, I don't use this phrase, I don't use these words as a throwaway, ladies and gentlemen. I mean this. Do you know how much you have to hate the country to literally go after its future and to beat them down verbally because they don't share your narrow view of society, a society which you've been building for the last 40 years, which has rendered their families powerless and scattered, as well as their communities often desolate, without work, without jobs? You have to really hate this country to take such a position against the generation that will lead it into the future. Because that's basically what it... When I look at this, when I look at what they did to, I think it would be called Generation Y, and then what they did to Generation Y and Generation Millennials, or the Millennial Generation, and even now, going forward, it's like they're prepping the groundwork to do it to the next generation. These people hate the masses of these generations. And the only way that you, the only reason you would hate them so much, one, because conservatives do know, the younger you get, the more to the left you're going to get, which is really funny. The younger you get, the more to the left you're going to get. But also, too, these people, because of the internet, and I was trying to explain this to an older person, much older than me, she's in her 60s, who kept telling me that I just don't know, I just don't know, I just don't know. This was back about 5 years ago. And I kept trying to tell her, I said, honey, this isn't 1960 anymore, dear. She was 62 or 63 back then. And I told her, I go, this ain't 1960 anymore. I said, I can find out numbers and information from colleges that are free to the public. PhD level information by snapping my fingers.
right down here while I'm, at the time I was doing laundry, but I told her, I go right down here while I'm doing laundry. And that's where these kids have an advantage over the previous generation. They know the science because it's right at their fingertips. It boggles my mind. It boggles my mind that these people would hate this country so much to do that. All right. Question, comments, concerns, you know, leave them. I will see you on the other side.
Well, I think it's fine building jumbo planes, taking a ride on a cosmic train. Switch on summer from a slot machine. Just get what you want to if you want, as you can get anything. I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. Tell me, where do the children play? Well, you roll on roads over fresh green grass for your lorry loads, petrol, gas, and you make them long, and you make them tough, but they just go on and on, and it seems that you can't get off. Oh, I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day, but tell me, where do the children play?
Ladies and gentlemen, so I want to thank you. I want to thank you for listening today. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, there was a lot to absorb there. I know these episodes have been getting kind of a little bit lengthy. If you want to comment, then please contact me at the email address right there. I'd love to hear from you. It's on the front cover, by the way, in case you don't know. It's in blue on the bottom. You can reach me. And by the way, You know, nah, I'm not even gonna. One of the songs that was played during the episode, which is really a wonderful song that I really like, is by Dan Fogelberg. He, you know, the man refused to compromise. He stuck with that old folk song sound for much of his career. And that beautiful song that was done, I think it was at the beginning of the 90s. It was either the beginning of the 90s or late 80s, which you heard. Is just absolutely, you know, I think it is a song that has great relevance today. Great relevance. Again, thank you guys for listening. Contact me anytime. Hopefully I will get that OWS episode up. Hopefully I will. All right, guys. Till the next one. Peace.
There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who find they can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone. And